Well, good afternoon, brethren. So before services, I was talking with Kirk about his sermonette topic, and he quickly told me that he would be speaking about the power of God. I said, oh, good, I'm doing the exact same sermonette. So he started going, and I'm checking off each scripture that's in my sermonette that Kirk also covered, and pretty much he got through all of them. The ones that he didn't get through, Mr. Bell was able to check off the list for me. So I'm actually going to start this sermonette on page 4, and then I'll go back because I think the scripture on page 4 kind of captures what I think is occurring here today. Mr. Bell, B. Bell, made the comment that, you know, that number 3 is the number of completion. So apparently God wanted us to have a conversation and discussion today about His power and His Holy Spirit, because we're going to hear it at least 3 times. I don't know what Papa has planned, but maybe he's got the same thing planned. I don't know what the number 4 represents. In 2 Peter verse 1, and I'll try to skip over this when I actually get to page 4 in the real sermonette. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So all of the speakers know that when you sit down to work on a sermon or a sermonette, at least for myself, I always start in one direction and I kind of turn and go in different directions. And it was the same case with this particular sermonette. I think I took 4 or 5, 6 different turns, but I always came back to this topic, the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I mentioned, I think that scripture kind of captures what's happening today is, you know, God's Holy Spirit led all of the speakers for us to speak about His power on the day of Pentecost. Now, Kirk did talk about this scripture, 2 Timothy verse 1. That was actually the beginning of my sermon app, so I'll go ahead and read through that. 2 Timothy verse 1, it says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to your remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Brethren, as we heard this morning, God's Spirit is a gift. It is something that He freely gives to us at our baptism. We don't necessarily receive it because it's something we deserve, but it is a gift that God wants us to have. God's Spirit is a power. It is a power that leads us away from fear, as we heard about. It leads us towards living a life that is filled with godly love and with a sound, rational, and self-controlled mind. Brethren, God wants us to be like our elder brother, Jesus Christ. He wants us to stand out in a world as being different, and we certainly do that. Just as Christ lived differently than most of those around Him, actually probably all of those around Him, we too are to live differently. We're to stand out. We're not to hide our beliefs, but to let our light shine because of those beliefs that we have. Still in 2 Timothy verse chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, we get some more instructions about not being ashamed, not being fearful of the beliefs that we have. And I know in a world, especially now for our young people, standing out is not popular. It's something that we try to blend in. As you know, I work with middle school kids and they always want to blend in. They don't want to stand out as being different. But brethren, that's not what we're called to do. 2 Timothy verse 1 and or chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Brethren, we will endure sufferings, but we're not to be ashamed of those things. In verse 9 it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. In verse 14 it says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Brethren, we may face challenges as a result of our beliefs, but we can find comfort in knowing that God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift of the Holy Spirit can help us through some of those difficult times. We all have our stories of challenges that we may have faced because of our beliefs. Christ faced challenges that I can't even imagine going through. I can't imagine the trials and the challenges and the suffering that he endured. But he too had God's Holy Spirit. It was partly because of that Holy Spirit that Christ was able to make it through some of those challenges. In Acts 10 verse 36, again, Kirk had mentioned this one, it talks about Jesus Christ receiving God's Holy Spirit. It says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And with, there's that P word again, and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Brethren, we know that the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God. It is that power that is actively working in all of his servants. See, God made his Holy Spirit available to anybody who would repent and become baptized. In Romans 15, I won't turn there, but in Romans 15, 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill with you all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's where mine gets just a little bit different than Mr. Kester's and Mr. Bell's. I'm going to focus on that word hope just for a little bit. God wants us to have hope. God wants us to have hope. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we find hope in our lives. And in some cases, we help others find hope in theirs as well. Hope's a pretty simple word to define. It's really a feeling of expectation and a desire for certain things to happen. Hope is a want for something to happen. Brethren, we all have hopes. We all have hopes. And oftentimes you have dreams at the end of that, but that's a little bit different. You know, if I were to give you a minute or two to write down all of the hopes that you have, I am confident that you would develop a pretty extensive list, because we all have those hopes. Hope is one of those things that can get us through tough times. I think about the terrible state that so many in this world are in, that state of hopelessness. I can't imagine being hopeless, but there are so many in this world that are hopeless. Far too many live day in and day out in that feeling of hopeless. Why is that? Why do people live in that state of hopelessness? Well, for most of these people, they just don't have God's Holy Spirit. That might be the one very simple answer. But probably even more alarming is there's so many that lack any faith in God whatsoever. They have no understanding of God. So how do you have hope and how do you have faith if you have no understanding of God? See, one of the great powers of God's Holy Spirit is helping those that possess it find hope. We know God because of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. This one was covered, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about we cannot know the things of God without having his Holy Spirit. I'll drop all the way down to verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 2. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, God does give us things freely. We don't pay for it, as Mr. Bell talked about. It's given to us. That Holy Spirit helps us to understand those things that have been given to us. All of our lives have been changed. After we came out of that water from baptism, received God's Holy Spirit, if you were to think back to the way you lived your life prior to that versus the way that we live our lives now, I'm not sure I want to think back to all those things, but if we were to do that, you're going to see a huge change in the way that you lived your life. See, we live our lives differently, partly because we have been blessed and been given that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's because we are led by the Holy Spirit that we are different. And because we are different, that's why Christ told us that we are to be a light to the world. And part of being that light is providing some hope for those that lack that ability. Through our commission of preaching the gospel and preparing a people, part of that is providing hope for others. See, they may not fully understand God's word at this time, but how many people do we come in contact with that they look at you? Man, you're different. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. You're different. We go to the feast. We hear it all the time. Boy, you are a different group. We have conventions in here. They destroy the place. They don't behave, but you guys are different. We hear that all the time. And that can provide peace for some. It can provide hope for some, knowing that there is a different way of life. Think about the number of times that people ask us to pray for them, those that are outside of the church. Why do they do that? Why do we have people outside of the church ask us to pray for them or maybe pray for a loved one? See, they might not truly understand what they're asking for, but they do know that we're different. They do know that we have a faith in somebody other than man. They know that we have a faith in a power that is much greater than ourselves. They know that we live by a different set of rules. They know that we live by God's rules. Brethren, we can also provide hope for others by maybe sharing our stories about God. I know at the feast in St. Lucia, my very first feast after Lori and I got married in St. Lucia, we were sitting around the pool and there were a couple of guys playing guitars. Marilyn, where are you? You would have loved that. They're playing some music around the pool. And we got talking about our calling. We got talking about how did we come to be where we are right now under the full moon in St. Lucia after the first night of the feast. Had people been listening outside of the church and heard some of those stories, would that not provide hope for some of those people? You know, you talk about your calling. Maybe even more importantly is, you know, what has happened to us since our calling, since we've answered God's calling? Some of the trials that we may have faced prior to being blessed with God's Holy Spirit, how we overcome those now maybe differently than we did prior to having God's Holy Spirit. When we share those stories with others, it does provide hope for them. It wasn't too awful long ago at services, there was this lady that she shows up. Actually, this lady, I think she has shown up twice, she told us. She had been in quite a bit of trouble herself in Rochester growing up. She did some things that she shouldn't have done. Based on the stories that she shared with us, I'm pretty confident she was a gang member in Rochester, probably by way of somewhere in New York City. She ended up marrying a guy in prison who, it sounds like, also was a gang member. And she came into church, and she was absolutely distraught. Absolutely hopeless. She had been at the prison and they had kicked her out because apparently she was on the bad girls and boys list of the warden because she had caused some trouble in the waiting room prior to this particular visit, and they said, you're going to be banned from visiting your husband for some time. And she was in tears and just really didn't know what to do. And I think she even used those words. I don't know what to do. I need to be able to see him. Well, Lori was back there and she was talking with her, and she was probably back there 30, 40 minutes, and I went back to check on her, make sure that she was okay. And her and the lady were having a conversation. The lady invited me to sit down, and we continued to have a conversation, missed the entire church service for the most part, talking to this lady. She was hopeless, absolutely hopeless. And she said, I don't know what to do. Well, in the course of our conversation, Lori and I had shared some stories about she asked the question of, did you have any troubles in your marriage? I said, well, everybody does. You know, you have your little fights here and there. But quite honestly, we never really had anything serious. Certainly neither one of us were in prison and had to work through the visitation thing there that she was going through. But in the course of the conversation, she had mentioned that they both read the Bible. So Lori had the great idea of, you know, why don't you, before you visit, read a Bible story and make that be the topic of your conversation. Again, she didn't know the true way of God. She was hopeless. She met some people that did know God's way, did have God's Holy Spirit. And when she left, she was smiling. She thanked us over and over for taking the time to have a conversation with us. We gave her a plate of food and ended up taking her to the bus station. She wasn't a real trustworthy woman. She's had some pretty bad experiences, I'm guessing, with law enforcement. She didn't know who we were. Actually, she asked some questions about, do I know people in corrections, and can they do anything to get me back into prison so that I can talk with my husband? So we didn't go down that road. We tried to keep it, you know, positive and looking at some Bible stories and that type of thing. But she wouldn't let us take her home. She said, no, you take me to the bus station, then I will walk home. So we gave her a plate of food, and we did that. But I think about all of the times that we come in contact with people that just need somebody to talk to. Do we take that time to have those conversations with those people that are going through a difficult time? I don't know if it's God's Holy Spirit that continues to lead me to these people, but it seems wherever I go, there's somebody in need, and they end up gravitating to me. I've told several stories of these people. They just follow you. So maybe that's my job. I'm supposed to have these conversations with them. Abraham Lincoln, he's somebody that I enjoy reading things about. He made a statement. His statement was that some achieve great success is proof that others can achieve it as well. That some achieve great success is proof that others can achieve it as well. I think about Jesus Christ and how he fulfilled the plan of his Father. He lived the perfect life. He was successful. He made it back to his Father and will eventually restore God's kingdom. So we are to look to Jesus Christ for that perfect example of how we are to live. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us down that same path. It has the power to do so, and we find hope as we do that. In John 14, verse 25, again, we talked about this morning, the Holy Spirit being a helper. These things I have spoken to you while you were present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Brethren, we face trials, we face sometimes very difficult trials and challenges, but we're not to be afraid. We have the blessing of God's Holy Spirit that will help lead us out of those things. It talks about in John 14, 26 that the Holy Spirit will bring us to remembrance. In order to remember something, you have to first learn it. So part of our job and part of the things that the Holy Spirit needs to lead us towards is continually learning the ways of God. I know last week Mr. Miller spoke to us about that continual process of examining ourselves. As we review our thoughts, as we review our actions, we're to do so according to God's standards. God's standards. We don't compare ourselves to the standards set by the world. We compare ourselves to God's standards. And sometimes when we do that, we get discouraged because we may fall short in the same areas over and over and over again. But remember, the Holy Spirit was given to us to comfort us, to help us, to guide us to a deeper understanding and commitment to God's way of life. The Holy Spirit does provide the hope that we need to continually grow spiritually. You know, we're growing as God's servants. Yeah, we fall short every now and again, but God provides that hope that we can continue to get better. The day of Pentecost I look at as a day of hope. We can be hopeful that God's Holy Spirit will lead us to His kingdom. As I said, we'll continue to fall short of God's glory, and you know, we may never quite behave the way Jesus Christ behaved day in and day out, but it's something we strive for each and every day. We can find hope in knowing that God will provide the learning that we need when we need it. You know, sometimes we're not able to learn certain things because we're not spiritually ready to assimilate that or apply it to our lives. But when the time is right, we know that God will provide that. In Hebrews 5:12, as we begin to wrap up, it talks about that. It talks about providing us the learning that we can assimilate at the proper time. Hebrews 5:12. It says, "For those by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Brethren, God's Holy Spirit is a blessing. It is a gift from God that provides hope for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit allows us to move from what we read in Hebrews, from the milk to the solid meat. God's Holy Spirit plays a vital role in our lives. It can turn our lives from maybe at one time being very, very negative to being a very, very positive way of life. As we walk about behaving differently, standing out in a world that so desperately needs the light, we can have a positive impact on those around us. Sometimes even by not saying anything. Sometimes it's just a nod or a wink or a handshake. Sometimes we don't even need to say anything. You never know when something we do may be that one thing that brings somebody back, that provides just that little bit of hope that they might need. We read the fruits of the Spirit earlier. Mr. Kester and Mr. Bell read those fruits of the Spirit. I'm just going to list them one more time as we begin to wrap up. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So brethren, as we re-enter the world today after these services, let us thank God for His Holy Spirit, and let us pray that we are able to display those fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5:22. Let us be that hope for that person that we may pass on the street, or maybe the hope for the person that's sitting next to you right now. You never know when somebody needs hope, and let God's Holy Spirit help lead us in that direction.